much about.
We need something massive and attention-getting, something that will grab people by the ears, yell at them through a bullhorn, and hit them like a bolt of lightning.
I got it.
What is it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Dave, we're going to give you the last word with Kristen Bell.
Okay. Thank you, Bean. Thank you, Kristen, for coming on the show with us.
Thank you, Dave.
I love you.
I'm in love. I'm in love with Kristen Bell. Thank you, Kristen.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye now. Are you a Mexican or a Mexican?
Not my fault.
Let's all be more like Dave.
Orange?
And now.
I think you should lose the first line and the last line and all of the other lines and instead just walk up to the mic and meow really loudly for 8 minutes.
Our feature presentation.
Pretty good advice, got to be honest.
I'm sorry she didn't do it.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday morning, the 7th of October.
Hi, Lisa Bay.
Hi, Bean. They're fabulous.
are they tanned and rested and
they
ready?
They are, all of that, yes.
Lisa said she was chatting with Beer Mug, poor girl, and she was in some Caribbean island for vacation last week. And she was saying that the water was 85 degrees. Does that seem possible to you, Kevin?
Wow. Yeah, down there. But,
yeah.
But
it sounds like bath water to me.
It's super warm, yeah.
It sure makes diving fun.
Yeah.
You don't have to wear all those weights and stuff, and the water's clear. It's beautiful.
You bring down a fan to keep you cool.
Yeah, right. It was great.
Did you see anything scary underwater?
Well, I was telling Dave about these lionfish that have taken over in the Caribbean. It's a huge, or Caribbean, however you want to say it. It's a huge, huge problem because they don't belong there, and they're just...
Where does the lionfish belong?
I don't... Maybe in... I don't know, Thailand or someplace like that, but some dude had them in a tank in New Orleans, and Katrina hit, and they went into...
That's how they got into the Caribbean?
How they got into the Caribbean, and they have no natural enemies, so when you go down, the dive master tries to kill as many of them as he can with a spear, and half your time is spent just trying to spot these things, but one of the dive masters killed it, and then he found an eel, and he put it in front of the eel, and the eel just rustled it off the spear and ate it. And this other guy was filming. I know. It was Wild Kingdom.
What kind of weird trip did you go on?
It was nuts.
Why are they trying to kill them? What do they do? Why are they bad?
I guess they are ruining the coral reefs and eating up all the other fish and pushing the other fish out. So
they're
ruining the environment.
Bullies. These are bully fish.
They're bully fish. Yeah, they get pretty big. They're not enormous, but they get to be pretty big.
Between this and the new Asian giant hornets that are going around.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
They're bigger than your thumb.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they're gonna die.
Are they here?
Dozens. No, China. They've killed dozens of people in China, though. They're big time.
It's a bad way to go.
And they can sting you multiple times, too. It's not like they sting you once and then they die.
That's effed up. We play by rules here on Earth. You get one sting.
That's right.
So what we've determined already this morning is there's no safe place in the water. There's no safe place on the land.
Correct.
Yes, we're doomed.
So you just got to stay in an airplane because nothing bad ever goes wrong in an airplane.
That's true. Good point.
Hey, speaking of airplanes, let me just tell you real quick. I'm sure everybody saw the story, but I needed to mention the 9-year-old Minnesota boy who this is Kevin when he was a kid. He's 9 years old. Somehow he gets to the airport in Minneapolis, the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. He does not have a ticket, by the way, but he gets on a plane to Las Vegas. He's 9.
Okay.
How did he do it?
I can't imagine.
Imagine how many times you have to show your ID and boarding pass to get anywhere in an airport. How does a 9-year-old do that? Security officials screened the boy at the airport shortly before 10:30 a.m. He got on board a Delta Flight 1651, which left for Las Vegas at 11:15. So he's a baller already.
Going to Vegas, right?
The flight was not full. The flight crew became suspicious mid-flight because the boy was not on their list for unattended minors. You know, they usually have a list that they keep track of, so they make sure that that person gets, you know, reunited with the person who's supposed to pick him up on the other end.
Right.
So the crew contacted the Las Vegas police, who met them upon landing, transferred the boy to Child Protection Services. Apparently, by the way, they went back and checked the videotape. He shows up at the airport. He goes and takes a bag off the baggage carousel, then takes that upstairs to a restaurant where he orders lunch at a restaurant outside of the security checkpoints. He eats, then tells the server he's got to use the bathroom. He leaves the bag behind, never returned to pay. So he's also skipping on lunch in addition to jumping on a plane that he hasn't paid
for. Sort of like this kid. Go ahead.
God, he really plotted this out.
Really did.
It sounds like he did. By the way, they contacted his parents. The police, Minneapolis police went to his residence. Parents told officers they, quote, hadn't seen much of the boy today.
Oh, good. Quote. Oh, good.
Oh.
Kevin, was there ever a time when you had a 9-year-old that the kid would be gone long enough to make it to the airport? And nowhere in this article does it say how the kid got to the airport, but make it to the airport and get on a plane and fly away before they didn't even, the parents didn't know about it until the police showed up.
Well, there's your problem right there.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He probably drove, by the way, B.
He probably stole a car. TSA says that they are down some people due to the government furlough because of the country's bankrupt or stupid or something. He also points out that TSA security checkpoints aren't in place to stop unauthorized people from going through. They're there to stop dangerous objects, and the boy was properly screened that he did not have anything dangerous with him to get on board the plane. But I'm sure that security protocol is being reviewed now as a result of this.
Some people getting questioned today about that.
I want somebody to interview the 9-year-old, though. I want to find out what his plan was.
That kid's going to rule the world.
He might. He's a Jedi Knight. He's probably going to Vegas to get some bitches. Right?
That's how he rolls. He likes to do hood rat things.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
What? Why? Oh, what tattoos? What the? I'm having so many thoughts and feelings that I'm paralyzed right now.
The Armenian comedian does a podcast.
Nope.
No.
With Omar.
I'm going to say no.
He does. He's done 3 now.
Yeah.
We've got some highlights from the latest one where Psycho Mike stepped in.
Oh.
Unclothed.
That's interesting.
So that's coming up. We also have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL and the eventual march to the Super Bowl of the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, I think that's clear. I don't know who people think they're going to play yet, but I think everybody agrees on the Cardinals being in there.
It might just be a split squad game because they're so much better than everybody else. Cardinals are the only team that can play.
The Cardinals are so good, they have their quarterback throw exclusively to the other team just to try and make it even. Yeah, it's weird.
It's nice of them.
Lorenzo Pisani. I don't know how you say his name, but he's got a thing called humor abuse, and he had clowns for parents, and they made him get out of cars his whole life. I don't know what the story is.
That sounds like our kind of people.
Do a little research on that one. We have Afro today. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and we have Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, yes.
On the program as well. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the showbiz beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Monday morning at 5:54.
Big doings for 30 Seconds to Mars fans on the Kevin Bean Show all week long. We're going to be giving away tickets not only to see them at the Hollywood Bowl on October 12th, but how about this? October 14th, right here in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock.
Whoa.
All right.
That's an intimate room for a big, big band, I'll tell you that. Details at KROQ.com, your chance to win coming up. Hi, Ralph Graham. Good morning.
Hollywood Bowl, that's got to be banned, right? We got to stop that.
It's a great place to see a show.
It's a great venue with terrible parking.
It needs to be removed and put somewhere else.
Really, the whole thing?
Yes, it needs to be relocated.
Huh. I think the
much
problem
like the Native Americans were. they just need to be relocated onto
a reservation.
Onto a reservation somewhere in the desert, far away from the city, from the white man.
Is it part of the problem of the Hollywood Bowl, not just that the parking's tough if you go, but for the 99.9% of the people who don't go, it just F's up Hollywood?
Yeah, that's what my problem is.
That's your problem, is that Highland just gets backed up.
The traffic nightmare that it creates. I was out with the wife on date night on Saturday night, and we went to a lovely movie and dinner in the city, and we were heading home back into Studio City. And forget about it. For everywhere. It was like we were under the dome, literally. Hollywood was under a dome. You would hit an invisible wall, and you could go no further for about an hour because John Mayer was playing at the Hollywood Bowl. And first of all, John Mayer. And second of all, traffic. There we go. Here's my review of that show.
All right.
I'm just saying, it's a lovely venue, but it just needs to be relocated.
All right. We'll take care of that.
Can you get on that for me?
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. Monday morning means top 10 movies at the box office. On the Showbiz Beat, we take a look at what people went to see over the weekend, and it looks like most people went to get a claustrophobic, just air-sucking experience of a movie called Gravity. where you just went, I can't watch this movie because I can't breathe anymore.
Did you see it, Ralph?
I did not. No, I went to see Enough Said this weekend.
That was good.
Romantic comedy with the last film of James Gandolfini and Julie Louis-Dreyfus. It's an excellent, excellent romantic comedy. I mean, genuinely laugh-out-loud funny. And the thing about it that separates it from most romantic comedies is that you feel like you're watching real people on a screen have real conversations. As opposed to Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey duct taping themselves to the office chairs or whatever it is they do in their wacky comedies. Gandolfini is so funny. Spoilers real quick. I just have to recount this because it was one of the hardest. I laughed about as hard as I have in any movie in a long time. He's on his first date with Julie Louis-Dreyfus, and they're at this frozen yogurt place. And it's just a ton of people filling the frozen yogurt, those tiny little cups, just tasting. And he's just looking. She goes, like, what's the matter with you? He goes, these people. Take a chance. Put something in your bowl. You're not buying a house. I laugh so hard. That's how I feel when I see those scroungers. All right. Gravity was number one at the box office. $55.6 million.
That's a poorly named movie, I got to be honest, because there's really not any
gravity. It's the absence of gravity, really.
The opposite of
what that movie's about.
Yeah.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, $21.5 million. Made it number Runner, Runner. The new film with Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake made $7.6 million. Made it number three. Prisoners was fourth. Rush was fifth. Don John. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, of course, sixth at the box office with $4.2 million. Then Baggage Claim, still hanging in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that Baggage Claim. That time where he opens it up and the TSA's left a note inside.
Right.
Says, we looked at your stuff. Oh, yeah. Very dramatic. Insidious, Chapter 2, was eighth. Pulling Strings in its debut. What?
Pulling Strings.
Stop making movies that we don't know about, Hollywood.
Wait,
I don't know. I don't know.
You do the movie beat.
I don't know what Pulling Strings
Shouldn't
is.
You have told us about this on Friday?
I didn't know it existed.
Pulling Strings
here. It's another Spanish movie.
Well, there you go.
How about that?
Instructions not included. Now Pulling Strings.
Can I guess? Yep. They pull strings? Si, senor? Literal strings?
I don't believe so, no.
I don't believe so.
Rachel is an intelligent modern-day woman constantly on the move, primarily focused on her career as a diplomatic consul for the U.S. Embassy.
Sure.
She's literally lived her life on the move, globe-chopping from city to city.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she's one of those.
Her parents made her get out of cars when she was young?
It's possible.
Enough said. 10th, the movie I went to see this weekend, $2.2 million. So a few bucks of that are mine.
How about that?
I'm so proud. Congratulations to Naya Rivera from Glee.
For everything, for just being her.
She is spectacular.
She really is.
She is getting married. She accepted the proposal of rapper Big Sean. After 6 months of dating, the two are going to live happily ever after together. Big Sean and Naya. She seems like a good rapper girlfriend there in her Oakland Raider gear.
Yep. Yes, she does.
Her brother, of course, plays for the Raiders. More congratulations are in order for Owen Yeoman, who plays Wayne Rigsby on The Mentalist, if you watch that show. He just got married in Malibu over the weekend to his longtime girlfriend. Included in attendance was Amanda Rigetti, his co-star on that show, plays Grace on that show. She's just spectacular.
She's a redhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're getting married on the show in a couple weeks, so two marriages for him. I hope he gets to bone both of them.
Simon Baker. We should talk to him sometime about that.
Yeah,
show.
I hope he gave a toast. I hope he spoke at the wedding.
Yep. He said, raise your glasses. No. Yes. And everybody sat down again. Very charming.
Lisa, were you gone? Did you miss her interview with Simon Baker?
Yeah,
you
were gone.
I was here.
Oh, you were here for that?
I felt like I was gone. This is so awful.
You felt like he was gone.
Yeah. Everyone was gone. We should have all left.
And this is not supposed to happen. This isn't right.
What?
Charlize Theron had surgery last week. Yeah, she had a broken vertebrae, cracked vertebrae.
Ow.
That she cracked years ago, and she finally had surgery to have it repaired. She snuck into the hospital for secret surgery. She didn't want to make a lot of hubbub about it. You know, the press will jump all over that stuff.
Sure.
And insiders say she's got a little small Band-Aid to cover the incision on the back of her neck, but she's feeling good after the operation, and apparently it went perfectly, and she'll be totally fine after a little recovery. She's going to be great. So I'm just... Aren't they supposed to notify the loved ones when something like that happens? Shouldn't
I've
got a phone call
can,
or something?
Yeah.
Shouldn't someone have let me know what was going on here?
Well, they don't have to let the people know who are deluded. into thinking that they're friends. No, they don't have to let those people know.
I'm just saying. I'm sure Charlize would have wanted me to know that she was going to the hospital.
She would want to see you first thing when she woke up out of anesthesia.
Yeah, I would like to have been there with the
flowers. I don't know why Kevin's trying to get in the way of true love here.
Box of candy and flowers and a bow tie and a straw hat.
What, are you part of a quartet?
Apparently I am. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sean Ashmore, a very talented young actor, 34 years old today. Tim Minchin, one of our favorites around here, funny man and musician extraordinaire, 38 years old. Thom Yorke of Radiohead, I'm not familiar with his work, but apparently he's very popular with the kids, 45 years old today. Toni Braxton, she's 46. X-Factor judge Simon Cowell turns 54 years old today. John Cougar Mellencamp. He's been around for a long time making music, that
sure
guy.
Has.
62 years old. And Joy Behar of The View. Let me ask you if you're surprised as I am by this. Joy Behar.
Okay.
Recently of The View. She just left. She's got her own show, right?
Okay.
71 years old.
I am shocked.
No way.
I would have thought 55.
Isn't that shocking?
Yeah.
You think that's accurate?
I don't know. I got it from Dave the King of Mexico, so anything's possible. It's shaky, but it says here
71.
Joy Behar, 71 years old.
If the case, she's a pretty good looking 71.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's Kevin saying that.
Wow.
I mean, it helps that she's really unattractive, so I don't think you really judge her on the same scale as you do a lot of women, but if she's 71.
She's not 71. That can't be right.
According to Wikipedia, born in 1942.
How about that?
There's the Dave News Network right there. 71.
What?
Good on you, Joy Behar.
Still ugly, as you pointed out.
Well, not I didn't say ugly. But I'm just saying.
Hideous blow pig, I believe.
I did not at all.
Those were your
words.
No, but
shocked when I saw that age.
Her skin and her hair
Everything.
Looked like a much younger woman, absolutely.
Yes. Her teeth.
Looks like a monster.
Stop
She's
it.
Not a monster.
What's wrong
She's just
with
an
you?
Older woman.
You're a horrible human being. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us from the newsroom in about 50 minutes. But first, hit it, Steve.
Where's Steve?
There we go.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Steve was asleep in the corner.
Steve has some problems over there. Hit a button, by the way.
Oh, it's Pat O'Brien. How about
just
that?
Just a button there he had to hit to get that music going. And seemed like he was confused, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry,
Fox
Pat.
Sports Radio, our personality, Pat O'Brien, joins us in studio like you do on Monday
Prime
mornings.
Prime time with me and Steve Hartman.
That's right.
Yeah we do that show on shortwave radio. We need shortwave radio to pick it up.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Apparently the AM band doesn't hold the show anymore. We try to put it out there and it just falls out of the air.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Unusual problem to have.
Strange, yeah.
So it was a quite a weekend. We lost a couple more undefeated teams, including the Patriots and the Seahawks. But other teams, like the Saints, are still going strong.
Well, that's I'm here for you guys because, I know you don't have a sports guy.
Right.
And I've been doing this for a long time. You know, I've been a sports broadcaster for many years. And so I like to help you guys out. I was telling Lady Gaga yesterday. We were having brunch.
You were.
And I said, I'm going to go help Kevin and Bean out to cover football a little bit because I think they could use the help. And she said... Oh, ma oopa pow. Ma oopa pow. I don't know what that means, by the way, but attractive lady.
Why is Lady Gaga having brunch with you, Pat?
Because that's how I roll. You know, I got a lot of showbiz friends. You guys are jealous that I have show business friends.
No, we were just asking why.
And we were sharing an e-cigarette over a mimosa, and we had a good time.
All right.
But, it was a tale of two Mannings yesterday, really.
Yeah, it really was.
Look at Peyton. Putting on another impressive show, 51 points for the Denver Broncos in their win over the Dallas Cowboys. Boy, that was a close game, back and forth. That was an old-fashioned shootout right there, by the way. Tony Romo with a pick in the final minutes of the game.
Can always count on Romo
all the
for
difference.
That.
Yeah. But Tony also had a great throw over 500 yards. 48-51, the Denver Broncos. Meanwhile, Peyton's little brother, Eli, not doing so well with the... New York Giants now at 0-5 to begin their season.
That's incredible.
A couple gift turnovers let the Philadelphia Eagles win that one. But, Giants 0-5. A lot of people picked them to get deep in the playoffs this year. But it looks like it's going to be a little hard. Although, who knows? In the NFC least, anything can happen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Yes, Hartman, he knows. Meanwhile, the New Orleans Saints still 5-0, still unbeaten. over the Chicago Bears. Chicago started off the season 3-0 and then have dropped the past two games they were in.
Right.
Yeah, I was spelunking with Ed Asner the other day, and while we were at the bottom of the cave, I said, Ed, you picked the Bears to go all the way to the Super Bowl. And he said, shut up, Pat O'Brien. Ed doesn't like me much. Indianapolis Colts, they look pretty good. Andrew Luck coming into his own, beating those Seattle Seahawks 34-28 yesterday.
It's a pretty good game, too.
Kansas City Chiefs remain unbeaten, 5-0. Beat up on the Tennessee Titans, 26-17. And the Oakland Raiders, surprising everyone. I'll tell you something, this Terrell Pryor, he's the real deal. He completed his first 10 passes of that game for a couple touchdowns. An impressive win over the Houston Texans. 27. I played the San Diego Chargers, 27-17. That's how they went it up. But last night, I want to talk about the Houston Texans and the San Francisco 49ers.
All right.
Did you watch that game? Did you watch any of that game?
Did not see that game, no.
Well, a bit of a blowout there. 34-3. Matt Schaub looks like, it looks like Kevin when he gets in the middle of a sentence and just forgets where he was going. Just got a little confused by that game. I remember I was doing some Tai Chi with Brian Cranston.
Is that right?
Yeah, we were out there in the park there in Beverly Hills, and I said to him, I don't know about Schaub. And he said, what about Josh Freeman? And Josh Freeman's got a new job. Of course, the quarterback for the Bucks, now going to play for the Vikings, getting $3 million to quarterback that team. That's more than the other two quarterbacks on that team combined.
Wow.
For a salary, so everyone's assuming once he gets the offense down, he'll be joining the lineup. I know it's what Valerie Harper told me. I was rehearsing with her. For
rehearsing
Dancing
what?
With the Stars. I like to give her some tips. You know, I'm a pretty good dancer. Paul McCartney always said I moved pretty well.
Yeah.
And I said to her, Val, first of all, I've conquered my demons.
Right.
And she said, why are we talking about your demons? I have cancer. And I said, well, you got a good point. But I was talking to Fran Drescher the other day, and she said to me that Nancy McKeon told her that Nicole Kidman once told John Cryer that Tim Allen mentioned to Angus T. Jones that Jeff Corwin wanted to go out on safari with me. And so I'm going to go out there.
I don't even know.
Jeff Corwin and I are going to catch some snakes.
Where that sentence
He's got
started.
A show where he catches some animals.
Right.
And I think I'm going to milk a python.
Okay.
That's my right. plan.
That sounds like a good plan.
I think
we're going to let you get to that, Pat.
All right.
I'm
going to go milk my python.
All right.
I'll see you guys later.
Thank you, Pat. We always look forward to catching up with our friend Harvey Levin in the TMZ newsroom. Hey, Harvey. How was your weekend, my friend?
It was good. How about you?
Very good. Thank you.
Pretty mellow.
Went to Phoenix.
You went to Phoenix?
Yeah, I had to go to Phoenix for a meeting. And, you know, it's a really nice town, but it's like a little Stepford.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Looks, you know what? It looks like everything kind of looks the same. It was
yeah.
kind of weird.
I grew up there. Yeah, it's large parts of it are identical to. It's just crazy.
It was weird,
yeah.
but I liked it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you get a chance to see Saturday Night Live Saturday night?
Yeah, I saw some of it. What did you guys think?
You don't sound like you were very impressed with it.
The monologue was not great.
Well, you knew. I mean, really, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get her sticking out her tongue. You're going to get her twerking, and you're going to get her making jokes about the VMAs. I mean, that's it.
I know, but it was that's the thing. It's so predictable. And
yeah.
then it was like you didn't get the twerking. You didn't get the VMAs. It was like, I don't know. I mean, it was interesting. She said Hannah Montana was murdered.
She did say that. That was good.
And actually, people were interested in that. It's like, duh.
Yeah. Hannah Montana is long dead and buried at this point.
Long dead and gone.
Look, I wish she was hot. That would help a lot.
I think she's attractive, first
of all.
She's
got a cute face, but she's got Justin Bieber's body. And that's not all right.
Second of all, I thought the problem was that it was too Miley-centric. I would have enjoyed it more because she's a pretty good actress in the couple of sketches
right,
that she did
exactly.
where she wasn't playing herself. I think they should have done more with her just playing regular characters, being a cast member, rather
totally.
Than focusing
that's
everything
it.
On being Miley.
You know what? I couldn't put my finger on it. That's exactly what it is, where they take somebody and they put them in a role that has nothing to do with them, and it's really fun.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep.
But there were definitely some high points, and I still love that Wrecking Ball song, man. I still think she's got a terrific voice, Harvey.
No, she. And listen, I think Miley Cyrus has won this hands down, that she could have got into oblivion after Hannah Montana. I mean, who cared about Hannah Montana?
Oh, agreed.
Other than, you know, other than girls who outgrew it. And what she's done is she has become top of mind to everybody in the music business. And
yep.
that's half the battle. Half
yep.
the battle is getting recognized and cutting through the white noise, and she's done it.
I just wish
no,
she
you're
was
absolutely
hot.
Right. She has transitioned into an adult star from a teen star, and that is very, very difficult to do. A lot of people are not able to do that.
And she's had hit songs.
Yep, that's right.
So, you know, I mean, everybody's saying, oh, God, look what she's done. Well, what she's done is she's done a really good job with her career.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
I don't care what she's done. I just wish she was.
What is your problem with her? Why do you think she's unattractive?
She looks like a little boy.
No,
with
no.
boobs, a little
no,
boy with boobs.
Please.
And by the way, she's incredibly fit. I mean, it's not like she's fat or dumpy or
no,
anything like
she
that.
She has obviously the body of a very in-shape 11-year-old boy.
So Harvey, will you settle this for
I'm
for
not
us?
I'm going to settle this one.
All right. All right. Let's move on to another story that I think is fascinating that TMZ.com has been doing a good job covering. I'm not seeing it a lot everywhere else. And this is that A-Rod continues to fight back. Alex Rodriguez for the New York Yankees, of course. He was one of about a dozen players a couple months ago who were called out by the MLB and offered suspensions because of drug tests. Well, he's the only one who didn't sit out his days. He's the only one who says he's going to fight back, so he has continued playing. And now, what's he doing, Harvey?
Well, he's filed a lawsuit against the MLB and Bart Selig, and he is... I knew this was coming. I mean, I kind of had somebody tell me that this was coming down the pike, and I think he did it when he was right in the middle of this arbitration, and I think it was all... No, I know it was all planned, but he's saying that, look, how are you singling me out, you know, for a huge suspension when there's nobody else who has had anywhere near the suspension I've had? And he said, look, I've had 11 drug tests since 2011. I have tested with you guys, I've tested negative every single time, and now you're doing this to me. You are singling me out. You're going after me. It's a witch hunt. And the interesting thing is that corporations, when they get sued, they almost never say anything. They always say no comment because of pending litigation. You've
right.
probably heard that a million times.
Sure.
The MLB came out and then viciously attacked A-Rod in a statement, which, I mean, I've never seen a big corporation do something like this, but they basically said that he was, you know, a piece of crap. And no, I mean, they really did.
I know.
It was amazing to me that the MLB even spoke about this, because they were accused of something pretty serious. These companies never do it, so you just know they were just pushed to the limit on this.
Does anyone like him?
I don't know.
I mean New York fans don't like him, MLB.
I guess my question is, you know, A-Rod's a really interesting example that sometimes making too much money is a bad thing. And that, you know, maybe don't rob the bank. And because then all of a sudden you've got an impossible task. And he had an impossible task. And I think money had so much to do with A-Rod. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
But if he's a good dude, I don't think people care that much. But if he's a dick, then everybody goes, oh, I hope you go down.
Yeah. And I guess it didn't help too much that whenever he was on the injured list, he ended up in Miami with this beautiful woman.
Sure, there was
and
that.
You know, I mean, I don't know, but it's interesting the way he went from total hero to villain.
Yeah. I mean, there were some people, not many supporters of Alex Rodriguez, who thought that maybe he was meant to be the poster child for the face of drugs in sports, that they were going after him because he was such a big star. And it makes much more impact to bring down a guy like A-Rod than it does to bring down a player most of us have never heard about. But he also has failed drug tests in the past. He can point to this, hey, I've been clean since 2011.
Yeah, I think that was 2004. I may be wrong here. But
yes,
think
that's right.
He failed a drug test like 2003, 2004.
But that's partly why they gave him such a huge suspension this time, is because he's a repeat offender. That's
well,
why.
But here's the thing. Listen, if you believe the lawsuit, and I think that based on what I know, this probably is true. He has had 11 drug tests since 2011, and it's been negative every single time. So they haven't caught him on that.
Well,
so
why
did they suspend him then? I suspected he got a negative test back.
No, I mean, it's way more complicated than that. And, I mean, look, pretty much everybody thinks this guy was on performance-enhancing drugs.
Right.
Nonetheless. Hey, you know, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Suppose that A-Rod comes back, you know, in a year even, And all of a sudden, he's just really good. And he learns how to do it without any performance-enhancing drug or whatever. And he's really good. Are people going to love him again?
Look, I think Yankees fans will love him if he's helping the team. But I don't think anybody else around the league is going to look at him and admire him. We just don't trust him. We've been burned by him too many times. And he's a dick.
So how then do you explain Michael Vick?
I mean, Philadelphia is a different breed.
I think the difference may be is that Michael Vick went to jail, served his time, came out,
true.
And has been
that's
100%
true.
Clean since then.
No, that's true. That's actually a good point. Okay.
So I think that's what's going on here. All right, we know you got to get to your meeting, Harvey. It's always great to speak with you every Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ TV, the OG, and the TMZ live show as well at 4 o'clock on Fox 11. Thanks, Harvey.
See you guys.
Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell joins us in about 30 minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is going to try to convince us to tune into his new sitcom, We Are Men, tonight, because every week it could be the last week of that show.
Now, is he saying that or are you saying that?
Oh, Bean.
He'll be the first to tell you that. Okay. He gets canceled a lot. So who knows how long this one will last, but it's got a great cast. So we'll talk to him. We love Jerry. He's coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, Kevin, you know who Mia Farrow is?
Older
actress, but very, very popular in the 60s, 70s, even into the 80s. She's probably most famous for Rosemary's Baby, that horror movie. She, of course, was one of the stars of the Great Gatsby movie, the Robert Redford, Barbara Streisand version back in the 70s.
She's most famous for having a stepdaughter that married her ex-husband.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Really,
maybe
that's
so.
Absurd.
Maybe so. She was married to Frank Sinatra for a short time, but she had a very long relationship with Woody Allen. That's what Kevin's referring to. And she just did an interview with Vanity Fair, the new issue that just hits newsstands tomorrow. And I don't know why the reporter asked her. Maybe it's because he's seen pictures of her son, Ronan. But he said, hey, is it possible that that's not Woody Allen's son, but actually Frank Sinatra's son? Now, would you think that in most cases an actress asked that question would A, be offended, and B, just shut that down?
Yeah, quickly. Yeah, there's nobody in the world that would answer that, I guess, unless your ex is dating your adopted daughter.
In which case you want to hurt him in every possible way you can.
Right.
Well, she answered the question, said possibly. He possibly could be Frank Sinatra's son, because even though they were divorced, they never stopped really seeing each other.
Really?
You get the idea that Sinatra never stopped seeing anybody that he didn't want to see. That just kept going as long as he wanted.
You can't say no?
Correct. That's correct.
Well, people are now looking at pictures of this kid, Ronan, who I didn't really know anything about, but apparently he graduated from college at 15 years old.
Yeah.
Went to Yale Law School, is a Rhodes Scholar.
Right.
He's a special advisor to the Secretary of State for Global Youth Issues. He's a very good-looking young man and looks exactly like Frank Sinatra.
No kidding.
And nothing at all like Woody Allen.
No, nothing at all.
There's no way he came from Woody Allen.
So we thought there's really only one way to settle this. We've got the connections. We asked producer Dave to fire up the hotline to heaven for us, and I believe we're going to get a hold of Frank Sinatra in heaven today.
Hello, heaven.
Hold on a second.
Oh.
Frank, what are you doing?
I hope that's a rocking chair.
It's not. It's my bed. Hold on a second.
Is this a bad time?
All right, I'm done. Okay. Get out of here.
Who was that, Frank?
Cleopatra.
Well, I thought so.
Yeah, I was just nailing Cleopatra.
Just got your pick of whoever's up there, huh?
Got it right in the asp.
Oh, well, see, because
that snake thing she had.
Right, sure.
She digs it.
So, Frank,
what do you cats want?
How have you been, first of all, before we get to the issue
swinging.
At hand?
How you been?
We haven't talked to you in a million years.
I know. You don't call, you don't write no more, nothing.
Well, we miss you, buddy. I just want you to know that. We do miss you. And your ex-wife, Mia Farrow, is in the news.
She's a good broad, that Mia.
Have you been following the story at all from up there in heaven?
No, I'm too busy banging, baby.
Well,
what's the story?
She was asked about her boy Ronan that she had with Woody Allen.
Yeah, Woody. That's who she had him with.
Well, he does look very much like you.
You know why? Because he's mine, Daddy-O.
He is yours. He all is. Right, that okay. Settles that then. Okay.
That's right. I was drilling Mia Farrow when I was in my 70s.
Yeah, that's the thing. Wouldn't you have been, we were doing the math last week on the show, wouldn't you have been 78 years old when you impregnated her?
That's right. I still had some swimmers, baby.
Yeah.
That's
incredible. I got like Mark Spitz living in my pants. whoever the popular swimmer is these days.
How did that
work? It's that retarded kid who makes the Subway commercials, right?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah,
what's his name?
I
can't remember his name either.
I can think of Ryan Lochte.
Conan O'Brien.
That's him. Right.
Yeah. So how did that work? So you and
Phelps.
Mia had... Michael Phelps.
Thank you. Michael Phelps.
How did that work with you and Mia? You guys were divorced, but you...
Whoa! Again?
Yeah, hold on a second. Scooby-dooby-doo. All right, I'm done. Get out of here.
Who's that?
Joy Behar.
She's not dead.
What?
Frank. She's not dead.
Oh, it might have been Ernest Borgnine. I can't tell. You. I don't look the same to me.
So, how did it work with Mia? You guys divorced, but then you just continued seeing her even while she was living with Woody Allen?
Yeah, we didn't get along so well as man and wife, you know?
Right.
But the sex was still crazy.
All right.
We had a good time in the rack.
So Ronan is your kid.
He's mine.
Ronan tweeted, "We're all possibly Frank Sinatra's son."
That's true.
I'm guessing, I was going to say, do you have any idea how many children you have?
I'm your dad. I know that.
Wow, you must be disappointed.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know.
What a letdown.
It is kind of a letdown. You know.
Sorry.
But I did a lot. I raised a lot of money for special needs kids, so I feel okay for you. Hold on.
Oh, come on.
How
again?
Can he be ready to go again?
It's an insatiable appetite.
All right, I'm done. Get out of here. Eleanor Roosevelt, everybody. Eleanor Roosevelt.
That couldn't have been much fun for her.
Nor for me, but the guy's got to do what he's got to do.
I see. Okay.
See, look at the teeth on that broad. It's like the original Miley Cyrus.
So you just have them lined up out the door and they just come in and assume the position?
That's right. That's right. What heaven is for Frank, baby.
Wow.
Just a long line of broads just ready to give it up.
Sounds like a pretty good deal, Frank.
It is a pretty good deal. Being dead ain't bad. I recommend it.
Well,
especially for Bean.
Oh, good, yes.
Hey, wait a minute. What
I'll see you up here soon, buddy.
No, don't say. What's
you're
what are you talking
running
about?
Out of organs. We all know it.
Come on, Frank.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I spent some time with some people over the weekend that were baseball fans.
Man, ugh.
That's a dull sport.
Ugh.
But what's up with the Red Sox with all the... They look like they're all members of the Duck Dynasty with those giant,
yes,
ridiculous long beards. Is that a thing now?
Well, they have some players with beards on the team, and you know,
looks like everybody did.
I know. It's a promotion that they do at Fenway Park. It's a thing that's just taken off the beards. You know, it's like the hockey players in the playoffs.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
How dare you? That's a sport.
I'm just saying it's like that. So fans show up. They do special promotions where they show up and they get in for a reduced price if they wear one of those beards. But yeah, those crazy guys sitting behind home plate on Saturday night's game at the Red Sox game, that was pretty funny.
Right,
they did
but
look
I'm talking
like
about
Duck Dynasty.
I'm talking about the Red Sox
players themselves.
Yes.
Yes, they're growing their beards out.
Duck Dynasty beards.
They think it's worth it, but yeah, and then the fans emulate it all throughout the playoffs. It's kind of funky.
They're trying desperately to be cool like hockey, but they just can't. You know why? Baseball.
Okay,
back to you.
All right. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Because it is a Monday, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see in the movie theaters. Gravity was the big winner this weekend, $55.6 million. People paid good money to see Sandra Bullock and George Clooney.
That was an amazing movie.
They floated.
They did float a lot.
Wait, you went to see it, Kevin?
I did, yeah.
You were doing nothing but mocking that movie last week.
I was with it looked loud or exploding or anything.
I wasn't mocking. I just said I felt nothing for it. I didn't really want to go. But like I said, I spent some time with some people and watching baseball. And then they all wanted to see the movie. I was the only one that didn't care. And then I went, and it was awesome. It was amazing.
That's great news.
Just the way it looks and the way the story was told.
Oh, look at you.
Huh.
Trying something new that other people are suggesting, and it turns out to be good, and that you were wrong.
Well, I'm not going to go that far.
Well, it wasn't stupid or absurd.
No, it wasn't. It's pretty amazing.
Strange for you. $55.6 million made it number one. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 was second, then Runner Runner, the new Ben Affleck movie, was third with $7.6 million. Prisoners and Rush rounded out the top five, then Don John, Baggage Claim, Insidious Chapter 2. Pulling Strings was ninth. I wish I could say what Mike Catherwood tweeted about what that movie was,
but it's
really, really, really inappropriate. I'm not going to be able to talk about it.
Really? Mike Catherwood tweeted something inappropriate?
And then Enough Said was 10th at the box office this weekend. The James Gandolfini, Julia Louis-Dreyfus romantic comedy, which I saw over the weekend and really enjoyed. It was good stuff. Congratulations to David Letterman. His contract has been extended through 2015 by CBS. This makes Dave the longest running late-night talk show host in television history.
Wow.
Well, hell, sign me up for that!
In 2015, he will have been on television for 31 years. The last 20 at CBS. First 11, of course, at NBC.
It's already been 20 years at CBS?
Man, that's something.
Wow.
Johnny Carson previously held the record. He was on The Tonight Show for 30 years, but now David Letterman will be the longest-running king of late night. So congratulations to him. Also, good TV news for The Blacklist, a show which I love.
Love that, too.
NBC has picked up a full season order of 22 episodes for The Blacklist. So we'll get to see all of The Blacklist for the first season and hopefully more to come. James Spader and Megan Boone, of course, star in the show. It's the number one most watched new drama this fall. So that's good stuff.
Yep.
Now, if Dave the King of Mexico can just get us somebody from that show to talk about
it. That'd be cool.
I'd be happy. Because it may be my favorite new show of the fall. Great show. Spader's great. And that Megan Boone, she's just...
She's amazing.
Beautiful and talented. Yeah. I don't know where she came from, but I love her. Sleepy Hollow on Fox also was picked up for a full season order. People enjoying that show. And while we're talking about Fox, they renewed The Simpsons for a 26th season.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy, a show being on television for 26 years?
Am I the only person who's sort of stopped watching The Simpsons when Family Guy came around?
Oh, sure. I haven't seen an episode in years. But still, 26 seasons.
Still impressive.
Very impressive. Good for you, Simpsons. A little embarrassing moment for Fox News. Their entertainment division doing very well. Fox News got a little egg on their face.
Uh-oh.
This week. Well, I mean, they were trying to do the right thing. Fox News host Anna Kuiman was doing the right thing by talking about the fact that despite President Obama refusing to compromise on the spending budget and shutting down the government and then heartlessly blocking World War II veterans from attending their memorial in Washington, wouldn't open the doors there, he did announce that he would be willing to pay out of his own pocket to keep the Museum of Muslim Culture in Washington, D.C. open, keep those doors open. You can see why we would all be upset. There's only one problem with the story. President Obama never offered to pay out of his own pocket to keep the doors open to the Museum of Muslim Culture in Washington, D.C. Nor is there a Museum of Muslim Culture in Washington, D.C. So
that's a great story. That's got everything.
There's that. Maybe that should have been researched a little bit.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Apparently, Fox News got the quote from an airline pilot named We Too Low, a Korean airline pilot. So. Don't know where they got their facts there, but
5-letter word for Muslim imposter president.
Yeah. Maybe it's time for us to talk about strange fears again.
Strange fears.
Phobias. Fascinating story out of the UK. 37-year-old Lindsay Broom has been diagnosed by doctors with automatonophobia.
What's that?
Automatonophobia is the fear of puppets. She has a terrifying fear of the Muppets. She also says she is scared of other Jim Henson shows like Sesame Street and Fraggle Rock. Scared to death of any kind of puppet, but especially the Muppets. Her fear, says, started when she was 5 years old. She was left in a dark room with a dying elderly woman.
Oh, no.
She laid there groaning and wheezing as an episode of The Muppets was playing on TV.
Oh, my God.
It was the strangest, most terrifying experience of my entire life. And now it apparently has translated through the rest of her life, and she is terrified of Muppets.
It's pretty easy to plan your life around seeing Muppets, though, right? It's not like being afraid of dogs or something that you're likely to encounter on a day-to-day basis.
I would never stop effing with Lindsay Broom if I knew her.
Same.
I would just show up at her door. Hey, how you doing, Lindsay?
Hello, it's Kermit the Frog.
Call her at all hours of the day.
Stop by and say, I'm going to kill you.
And Norway's television just keeps getting more and more exciting. You know, we've talked about the Norway public television system before. They have announced they've got a brand new show on November the 1st. It is a 5-hour live knitting competition.
All right!
NRK Network said the live broadcast of 5 hours of live knitting will be preceded by a 4-hour pre-recorded documentary on how to remove wool from a sheep.
This is what lack of competition does.
4-hour documentary on getting wool off a sheep, and then 5 hours of live knitting.
You got a whole day
That's
right there.
That's a nine-hour block.
Right.
From wool to sweater.
And how can we see it here?
That's the question. It may sound boring to us, but producer Rune Mokelboost says their viewers will be knitting as fast as they can. It's an attempt by the network to break the world knitting record. The current nonstop knitting record is 4 hours and 50 minutes held by Australia. So
that's not a thing.
Come on, Norway. You can do it.
That just isn't a thing.
What the hell's going on?
Well, hell, sign me up for that.
No, don't. It's, you know what it's time for? Us to invade Norway is what it's time for.
They've been begging for it.
They're allies of ours, Ralph.
Well,
or friends.
Not anymore. It's time for us to take them over because they're
By the way, there's no way that the knitting record is 4 hours. There's no way that's
so easy to break.
The knitting record has to be a week.
Listen,
nonstop knitting.
Listen, what do you want from me?
Wait, are you upset about the report of the knitting record not being accurate?
I'm saying there's no way that...
What about the 5 hours of live knitting?
Look, that sounds pretty good to me.
I'm saying aside from the TV show, and I can't wait to watch, aside from that, there's no way that's the knitting record. That's all I'm saying. That's my only point.
All right. We'll do some research.
Somebody said President Obama was paying for a Muslim museum. Bean doesn't bat an eye. You misquote the knitting record, and he gets apoplectic.
He's on it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. TV personality Joy Behar, it says here on my sheet of birthdays, is 71 years old. How is that possible?
Now, think about that for a second, because that would only make her about 10 years younger than Barbara Walters. Barbara Walters on The View looks 150, and Joy Behar looks like she's about 55.
That's nuts.
That's not possible.
Musician John Mellencamp, first of all, the knitting record can't be possible, and Joy Behar's birthday can't be possible. This report is filled with things that can't be possible.
You're full of lies, sir.
John Mellencamp is 62, Simon Cowell's 54, Tony Braxton's 46, Tom York of Radiohead is 45, Sean Ashmore, very talented actor, turns 34 years old today. Tim Minchin. How great is Tim Minchin, by the way?
Fantastic.
Comedian, musician, composer.
Actor.
He did all the music for Matilda, that Broadway musical. Okay. It's crushing there in New York.
Did our April Foolishness?
Did our April Foolishness, yeah. 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, this is a big hour. If you're a 30 Seconds to Mars fan, and who isn't, we got tickets for you between now and 8 o'clock to see the band October 12th at the Hollywood Bowl and on the 14th in the just-announced Red Bull Sound Space appearance here at K-Rock. That's an awfully big band to be playing the Red Bull Sound Space.
Yes, it is.
Great, great place to see a show. Give you a chance to win all that coming up between now and 8. Details at K-Rock.com. Here's my whole thing, Kevin.
Right.
I could go on TV every week with my shirt off. I could. I could do that. I have the body.
You do. That's true.
But I choose not to because I like to hold something back, save a little something just for the wife. I'm a little more modest than maybe some people are. Hi, Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell. How are you?
What's up, you guys?
Just talking about you being on TV for 30 minutes a week with your shirt off. How's that going?
You know, it's annoying. Because you can't just let go on the weekends.
Right.
I like wings. I like on the weekends. I like wings.
You like wings?
Football and eating wings.
Yeah, sure.
And when you go to In-N-Out, you got to get protein style, the stupid lettuce.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Can't do the bun.
Yeah, that's no way to live, Jerry.
But you know what? Now with like CGI and like makeup, you know, you guys saw 300. They can just paint that stuff on.
Right, they should.
That's right. They could just paint a six-pack on you. But seriously, when they were pitching the We Are Men show to you and they said, here's your character, and he always takes his shirt off, did you stop for a second and think of what that was going to do to your life and to your image?
You know, our director and writer and the guy who created the show is a How I Met Your Mother guy, and mm-hmm. they do a lot of things like sort of on the fly, and all that stuff was not scripted. It was just sort of like day of, and I was a little peeved at that just because I like at least like a couple weeks where I can attempt to go to the gym and sit on one of those, what do you call those balls, like power balls or
medicine balls?
Exercise balls.
Exercise balls.
Yes. Yes.
Or Bosu balls.
That's what I do when I go to the gym. I get on an exercise ball. I order a milkshake. I order a protein shake.
Sure.
I walk in there.
And then you just sit on that ball for a while.
Yeah, and just sit on that ball for half.
Well, the show airs Monday nights at 8:30 on CBS. It is called We Are Men. You and your very talented cast, Cal Penn, our friend Cal, co-stars in this show. You've got Tony Shalhoub back on TV, Monk himself. He's playing one of the guys in your group. And Chris Smith is the newcomer to me on this show. Explain what these four gentlemen have in common for us, Jerry.
Well, it takes place sort of in that, like, Oakwood-type complex over there in Barham.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We actually shoot there. And, you know, they're in, like, temporary housing. Between the four of them, they have, between myself, Cal Penn, and Tony Shalhoub, we have three divorces. Not three divorces. Tony Shalhoub's character has four divorces. Cal Penn has one, and I have two. And Chris Smith gets left at the altar and checks in, and we sort of take him under our wing.
So y'all hate women.
Sorry?
Y'all hate women.
No. We're all trying to get back in the game.
Oh, all right.
I should say.
All right.
They love women. Actually. How difficult is that to shoot at the actual Oakwood? I would think that that pool area where you were in the premiere episode, I would think that that would be packed with regular people all the time.
It is, but, you know, I have to tell you, you would think that us coming in as, like, a TV crew would, like, disturb all the occupants, but because so many people trying to break into show business live there, we're constantly getting resumes from everyone.
People walking through the shot.
Yeah.
That must be the longest list of celebrity residents of any place in Southern California. Doesn't, like, almost everybody live at the Oakwood when they moved to town, Jerry?
I did 3 months in the Marina Del Rey Oakwood when I first moved to LA.
Did you? Bean and I moved in together into that Oakwood.
That's really? Sweet.
Same bedroom, same bed, if I recall.
That is a reality show to rival Kardashian.
When we moved to Los Angeles to do the K-Rock Morning Show, Jerry, they said, hey, we've got a corporate apartment over there at the Oakwood, so you guys can go live there. And I think we were in there for a couple of months or something like that, living in the Oakwood. I mean, it is a weird place.
That's our new reality show. Boom.
Done. Yeah. I'm not sure I'm down with that. I don't think that's very interesting.
I am down with that. I think the rest of America is down with that.
So, Jerry, you've been very frank about the fact that you've been on TV shows that maybe haven't lasted as long as you hoped. What's your prediction on We Are Men? How are you feeling about it? How's it doing out of the gate a couple weeks in?
These things have to find an audience, and I hope with your guys' help it happens. You know, it's a little tough these days. Hopefully, with your guys' help, continually pushing the show after I hang up this phone. By the way, I should be in studio with you guys. Why am I not there?
I think because you're in New York.
No, I'm not. I'm here in L.A.
They must have connected us. They connected us to you through New York, I guess.
Well, that's a good
system.
why are you not? We don't know that. Why are you not?
No, that's what I do. Because I'm continually calling people, I'm calling up exes and prank calling them, so it comes up as a 212 number.
See, all right, opening. All right. Here's what we're going to do, Hollywood Treasure Jerry O'Connell. Next Monday, if We Are Men is still on the air, you come on down and be in with us here at K Rock.
Let's do it, man.
No, I think we should do it either way.
Yeah, man. I just when I come and see you guys, I have to avoid that 405. I just don't see that road anymore.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah, Jerry's losing it. He's going bye-bye. All right. The show airs tonight at 8:30 on CBS. If you want Jerry to come into studio with us next week, you owe it to yourself to tune in and watch the program on CBS tonight because,
thanks a lot. I really miss you guys. See ya.
Thanks, Jerry. Good to talk to you, sir. Curtis Toll from Granada Hills, way to be. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. You're going to see 30 Seconds to Mars twice, once on October 12th at the Bowl, and then October 14th right here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space. We got that for you all week long, including one more time before the end of today's show. And throughout the day, go to krock.com for details. The Kevin and Bean Afro Line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. It's our 24/7 voicemail. You call us. We play your message back on the radio. Who's calling and why?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, longtime fan him. I'm on my way to Oktoberfest, and I know it's no Schmackfest, but I'm wondering if you guys are going to be there. Remember Schmackfest? You guys suck.
Nope, don't remember that at all. That was Mark and Brian. I think it was Mark and Brian who went to Schmeckfest. A lot of people get us confused, but that was not us.
Boy, I'll tell you, there were a lot of people that were hoping this next call was true.
So I'm reading an article in the Times, and it says a man was killed after falling out of a party bus on the 101. Please be Kevin. And Bean, you're mug too.
Hey, Kevin, what was that like for you when the party bus accident happened?
I got besieged.
Like hundreds of people wrote to you, right? Yep. And said, Kevin, are you okay?
Ah, it's so funny you died. Party bus. Yeah, it was. Everyone thought of me immediately, which I'm not sure is a positive, but all right.
Is this something I missed from last week?
Is that what the rooster says?
This guy doesn't have a lot to say.
Hey, Kevin B. Damn, that's all I got.
That's all he had.
Good point, though. Thank you for making the time to call.
But he sat around for a minute, and then he came up with something.
Kevin and Bean, guess what? You're an idiot.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Got it.
Oh, wait, one more thing.
Second Mike, guess what? You're an idiot.
Oh, you know what? I just thought of...
Hey, Ralph, does Adam West know you're a moron?
What's happening?
That's what this next call's about.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, I just noticed there's this new song out. I don't know the name of it, but throughout the whole song, all they do is sing, A-hole, 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 A-hole. And I've been letting them get away with saying that over the whole song.
I'm not sure that's what they're singing.
If the government shut down, that means the FCC is shut down, which means you can't censor this. Hey, you beer mug, you piece of hey, Lisa, wanna
Sorry, we still have to do that, unfortunately.
You know how when people are really fat, you can hear the fat in their voice? Miley Cyrus is like that with her teeth.
Oh, that's interesting.
True. She does have monster teeth.
She's got too many or something. I think she has like 40 teeth. I don't know how it works.
I don't know what the story is.
Oh, my God. I just realized how terrifying of a song Halloween Spooks is. What's that? What is it outside the window? Is that a ghost? I see a ghost by the tree. Where are the kids? Oh, God, I don't know where the kids are.
By the way, he's absolutely right. Nope. It is a terrifying song when you put it in those terms.
Nope. Got another one to play. Got another effort call. Sorry.
It was about the Halloween
Spooks. On my radio. Kevin and Bean. Yeah, they kind of bro. I wish that they could speak so that my ears wouldn't bleed. It's Kevin and Bean on my radio today. Party bus. I did you know? It's Kevin and Bean on my radio. Yeah, I love you guys, but you do kind of blow. Thanks.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen. Ooh ah, ooh ah.
Get off, 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 get off it, get off it, get off it, get off it.
Halloween spooks behind the tree.
Who gives a damn?
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window frame.
That isn't good for you. Lisa May, you were on vacation last week, so you missed Kevin throwing his annual tantrum where he tries to get Hollywood Spooks banned from the show.
Well, he's just wrong.
Last year we did a scientific survey, which the people agreed with me.
I don't remember that.
I played highlights of it. Oh. Unfortunately, it was only for the year. Somehow, yes. Bean got it. You know, the only scientific survey ever to only be for 1 year.
So, Kev was trying to kill Halloween Spooks like you do, and the outpouring from the kids was just...
No!
You can't even imagine, because for so many people, it's not October, it's not Halloween, the season hasn't arrived until they hear this beautiful music. I mean, seriously, how could anyone not love it?
That's bullshit.
So it is Halloween Spooks indeed for the next couple of weeks. 323-520-AFRO. That's our telephone number if you want to call. The Kevin and Bean Afro Live. We'll be right back. You know, I was thinking about our next guest, Lorenzo Pisoni, who we're going to bring on the phone here in just a minute. I was thinking about, for most of us when we're growing up and our families just get on our nerves and we want to get out, we decide, I'm done with this family. I'm going to leave.
Right.
I'm going to run away. I'm going to join the circus. That's my plan. That's how I'm going to get away from this.
That's never been my plan. I got to be honest.
Really? I always kind of had that in my back pocket.
Running away. Good. I'm not sure I wanted to join the
circus. That's what you do. You join the circus because then you have a life of adventure and excitement and travel and you're anonymous. You know, you put a little clown makeup on. No one can ever find you again. What does Lorenzo do when he's born, gets sick of his family, but they're in the circus? Then what does he do? He's born to a bunch of clowns. He's just got to stick with it, I guess. There's no way out. Fascinating story, fascinating life, and wait till you hear what he's up to now. Lorenzo Pisoni joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from Humor Abuse on stage now at the Mark Taper Forum. Hi, Lorenzo. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. So that's not an exaggeration. You were born into a circus family.
Yeah, my father and my mother, they started the Pickle Family Circus in 1974 in San Francisco. And I was born shortly after that, and I had no choice.
What a bizarre, everybody's like, oh, my upbringing is unique. What a bizarre upbringing you had, a family circus.
No, it was great. I mean, I was surrounded by all these adults doing crazy stuff that they wanted to be doing. And, and now I have a bunch of party tricks. So it's
right. Yeah,
bad.
I bet you do. How old were you when they started using you in the act?
Well, I went into the ring when I was two, kind of on my own volition. And then they had to put me into the show because I kept performing during the intermission. Like, I started thinking that was my time.
I like it.
Yeah, I was a little entrepreneurial, And then, so when I was six, they made me actually sign a contract that then, the idea was that I had to do every show. Because up until that point, I could choose to not do the show half hour before the... first person went
right
to the ring. But of course, I'm a little kid and everyone else is going into the ring. Why would I ever miss a show? And I
right
didn't, so yeah. So basically I kind of was like a free agent between two and six. And then six, I had to step up.
Then they nailed you down with a contract. All right. So how long did you live the circus life?
I was in my parents' circus until I was 13. And then I started working in other circuses when I decided to go to high school.
What a rebel.
Yeah, I was really, really on the outskirts. I was an outlier for sure.
I'm not going to quit the circus, but I'm going to go work at another one.
Well, my parents, my father left his circus when I was 11, so I started working without my parents in their circus, but I would be on tour without my parents. And then I just realized, I kind of wanted some normalcy in my life of some kind. And so in high school, I went to high school, but I had to pay for it. So then I decided to keep working in circuses. Plus, it's just so much fun. I mean,
yeah,
I can't
wow
tell you,
You get a lot of chicks as a circus clown in high school?
As a circus clown? No, that wasn't such a good draw.
Okay.
I think the acrobat maybe, that is,
that's kind of sexy.
Attractive. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right, exactly. This is the voice of actor Lorenzo Pisoni here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The reason we're talking to him and give you the backstory on his circus life is because at some point he left the circus life, moved to New York, became an actor, had a very successful career working in New York. And now you're doing something in town. It's a one-man show at the Taper, which just sounds hilarious. Tell us about it.
I'm doing a play called Humor Abuse, which... I created with Erica Schmidt, who directed the show, and it's a solo show about what it's like to grow up with a clown for a father, and literally, everyone says that their
right
father's a clown, but mine actually came with a nose and makeup, so it basically it just kind of goes through what it was like to learn how to trip, fall downstairs. I recreate some of his routines, I do some of my own, and I recount a lot of stories about what it was like being in a circus as a little kid. Yeah.
And one of the people that you encountered on the stage in New York has become a friend of yours. This is Jennifer Westfeld.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's helping you make a documentary about your life?
Yeah, so Jennifer Westfeld and I did this play called The Explorers Club actually just this summer, and I was playing her love interest, and it came out, about my history, and I was going to come do this show and the Taper and all this stuff. And she said, this would be a great documentary. And I thought, what, you mean like a film? And that's her thing, is to kind of just find artistic projects that she likes, and then she just kind of makes them happen.
Right.
So then all of a sudden I'm sitting in across the table from her and John Hamm, and they roped in a friend of theirs, who's a cinematographer, this guy William Rexer, and we've just kind of decided to make this documentary, which we're having a Kickstarter campaign to raise the funds to keep it going.
All right, how much money are you trying to raise, Lorenzo?
We're only trying to raise $60,000, which, for me, is not chump change, but for a movie, I guess, is...
Yeah, that's nothing for a movie.
Yeah, I know. So we got got, I guess we have 14 days left, and we're like almost at 80%. So we're doing pretty well.
That's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and the way Kickstarter works, of course, like it's all or nothing. If we make our goal,
right,
then people will be charged, you know, PayPal will charge you. But if not, then nothing.
If you make your goal of $60,000, you buy like a bunch of balloon animals, and then you just, that's it, you're out.
No, you got to buy just the balloons, and then you got to make the balloon animals.
Oh, I see. Right. That's what
you can't just buy them prefab.
Right.
Now, maybe I get it at IKEA. I don't know.
I went on the Humor Abuse website, and I was fascinated to see this, Lorenzo, that really you knew very little about your parents as people. You knew a lot about them as fellow performers, but
yeah,
you kind of had to sit down and talk to your parents for the first time in some ways, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's certainly more so with my father because, you know, he was – the way that I knew my dad was working with him in the ring, and I was like his straight man in the clown acts, right? And I really didn't, you know, father-son stuff is just totally bizarre as it is. But then you put on this working relationship, and then you put on top of that, you put on clown acts, and it just gets really, really out there.
But you sit down at, like, dinner, and he's got the makeup on? And
well, sometimes, yeah. I mean, sometimes he's eating lunch, you know, and, you know, in between shows or whatever, and there's no point in taking the makeup off. You're just going to put it right back on.
Well, it's a bizarre life, and I'm telling you, I just fell in love with this project watching your video on Humor Abuse. It's playing at the Mark Taper Theater for what? You got a few more performances left?
Yeah, it goes until November 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people can go see that. Lisa May, I know you're in.
Oh, totally.
But when I saw the footage that, you know, some of the interview stuff that you've already shot for this documentary, I thought, man, your friends were right. This is a fascinating story. You've had a crazy, unusual life, Lorenzo, and I really do hope you make it, and I hope you're able to get this documentary out there. I think people
Thanks
love it.
Thanks so much. Yeah, no, I'm really excited about it. I think it's a compelling story, if I do say so myself. I mean, I'm compelled to find out who these people are, you know, who my parents are. It's totally amazing.
Yeah. All right. You won't remember Lorenzo Pisoni's name, but just if you remember Humor Abuse, if you just put that in your search engine, Humor Abuse, everything you need will come up. You can donate at Kickstarter.com and go see the show at the Mark Taper Forum. We wish you the best of luck, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. I guess if he's bringing in food with him, Ralph, I guess you're the only one who gets wings.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin, you get wings. You get wings too, right?
Absolutely.
Kevin gets wings. Chip doesn't get wings. No. I don't get wings. Yeah.
Wings are for winners.
That's what I understand, yeah. Anyway, Andrew recaps the weekend for us. Looking forward to that coming up. Plus, apparently, Ralph is going to do a public service announcement for Kevin. You're helping Kevin out with a little chore, a little errand he's been putting off, I understand.
I've got to fix things.
Bean and I both have the same problem. We're going to focus on me in the next break, but Ralph is very upset.
Oh, 50 shows isn't enough on my DVR. I need more room.
Yeah, they only
They
only allow you 50.
That's plenty.
So when you got 50, you want to add something else, you got to take something away.
Yeah, well, you should, yes.
That's a problem.
Save that conversation, gentlemen. That's coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
It is Monday morning. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. To start things off, Gravity, number one in its debut, did very well this weekend, $55.6 million.
I heard that that was the largest movie opening ever in October.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Really?
October's ordinarily a very down month.
But 55 does not, I mean, it's a lot, but is that a record setter?
Because October is in that lull period between...
Nobody's opening a superhero movie in October.
Right. Between the summer blockbusters and then the Christmas blockbusters, and even the Oscar bait is released later in the year. So October, famously, is sort of a slow month for the box office. Gravity took advantage of that to the tune of $55.6 million. The next closest film in the box office race this weekend was $21.5 million. That was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, too. Runner Runner, the new Ben Affleck, Justin Timberlake movie, only made $7.6 million. What? America's Not Dying to See Justin Timberlake and Ben Affleck share the screen? Prisoners Fourth, then Rush, Don John. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, directed and starring film. $4.2 million, made it number six. Baggage Claim was seventh. Insidious Chapter 2 was 8th. Pulling Strings, in its debut weekend, made $2.5 million. Spanish language film. And then Enough Said, a romantic comedy with James Gandolfini and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Rounding out the top 10, congratulations to Scarlett Johansson, named today Esquire's Sexiest Woman Alive, 7 years after being honored for the first time on the cover of that same magazine.
She's earned the title for a second time.
Boobies. I like boobies.
Scarlett said she's got to hustle. It was 7 years between sexiest women nods. She's got to try to keep up her game. She goes, pretty soon, all the roles you're offered become mothers, and then they just sort of stop. She's 28 years old.
So am I going to see some jugs, or am I wasting my time here?
Come on, stop it. You know, I think Scarlett Johansson is a beautiful woman.
I do, too.
And as an actress, I think she is a beautiful woman. But I was watching Hitchcock.
Okay.
On cable this weekend. For those of you who don't remember, Hitchcock was the story of Alfred Hitchcock and his relationship with his wife, Alma. They were creative partners their whole lives, as well as being husband and wife. And they took a look at their relationship during the time of making, developing and shooting and releasing Psycho, that period of time in their
right.
life. Anthony Hopkins played Alfred Hitchcock. Helen Mirren played his wife, Alma. And they show you the shooting of Psycho. It's the filming of the movie. And Jessica Biel played Vera Miles, one of the stars of the film. And then Scarlett Johansson played Janet Leigh, who famously was in that shower scene where she was getting knifed to death and everything.
Right.
Hey, spoiler alert, by the way, Ralph.
Yeah, okay. Psycho came in 1960. If you haven't seen it, bite me. She was very good in Hitchcock.
All right.
Great performance, very strong. It really sort of captured Janet Leigh's essence as well, and I was really impressed by her work in that.
Check out those gigantic knockers.
And she also has big boobs. Yes, okay, I'll give you that.
Didn't know if that had been mentioned. I want to make sure it was covered.
Congratulations to The Simpsons. They've been renewed for a 26th season. It's madness. Madness. To have a show on television for 26 years. That's crazy.
This was the Treehouse of Horror was on this weekend. Anyone see it? Their annual Halloween episode?
No.
No.
But last night on Family Guy, Peter had a vestigial twin growing out of his neck. I enjoyed that.
Much better.
It was much better. Called him Chip. It was a tiny little Peter growing out of his neck, and he called him Chip. And I said, I wonder if they listen to our show, because we have a Chip who's tiny and little.
She's tiny.
Right. Yeah. Very entertaining.
No.
Okay. And the Kardashian family drama is getting weirder by the moment.
How?
Khloe's husband, Lamar, who has, of course, has been out on a drug bender for weeks and romancing other women. One of those women he was reportedly shacked up with was a woman named Paulina Polanski. They split up, reportedly, but now she is now seeing Scott Disick's manager.
What?
A guy named David Weintraub, who's Scott Disick's manager. First of all, that he has a manager
Scott
is hilarious.
Scott Disick has a manager?
But apparently now Paulina Polanski is romantically involved with him instead. What a mess over there.
Wow.
I always said if they didn't have money, they'd just be a trailer park family. They're all like boning neighbors and other people and stuff and just being drunks and useless. And one guy's like disfigured and he's married to Kris Jenner and he looks like a woman, but he's not. It's just if they didn't have money, they would just be trailer trash. God bless them.
If they didn't have money, Rob couldn't have his sock company, though, Ralph.
Rob has the sock line.
That's what I said. Rob couldn't have his sock company.
And Scott Disick wouldn't be Instagramming pictures of him holding up a brick of hundreds as if it was a phone.
Oh, no.
No, you haven't seen those photos? The Scott Disick Instagram photos? Which watch should I take? And he has like four Rolexes on his arm, like a picture of that.
What a dumb douchebag.
Wow.
Massive douchebag.
Well, in his defense, he earned that.
Well, he is a talented guy. Remember that? He did the...
That's right. Yes.
But there was another time when... I remember he...
He also invented...
He's very successful
with
the...
He had that business where he...
How about the year he won all the...
I got nothing. I got nothing.
He didn't do anything.
All he does is get Courtney pregnant. I'd like that job. Apparently it pays very well. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sean Ashmore's 34 years old today. Tom York of Radiohead is 45. Tony Braxton turns 46. Simon Cowell turns 54 years old. John Mellencamp is 62. Joy Behar is inexplicably 71 years old today. And actor, a musician, composer, Tim Minchin. We had him on April Foolishness. So great performance. He also wildly successful with a Broadway musical. I want to say Miranda. That's not it.
Nope. Mindy, no.
Matilda.
Matilda. Thank you, Lisa. Matilda. And we had him on the show talking about that. And I remember Bean was talking to him about the wildly successful Book of Mormon musical as well. And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Tratt, May, Tratt and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's this is like May from now on.
That was a moment with Beam.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Bean's your best friend. We need your help, Kevin.
Yeah. The guy who made up the rule that...
Kevin, what am I trying to say? Help me! Help me!
The guy who screams at people when they help me.
Help me! I'm drowning!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, looking ahead this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we've got some fantastic guests coming by, including our friend Rob Zombie is going to be here. Machete himself, Danny Trejo stopping by the program. Michael Chiklis on the show. Laura Wasser is going to be here tomorrow. If any of us need a divorce, she's the one we want to sign up to hire to represent us in the divorce. She's like the best divorce attorney in the world, and she's going to be joining. She's got a new book out. A lot of good stuff. And the return of The Walking Dead happens this weekend. Our friend Robert Kirkman will be here on Friday, and that leads me to ask, Kevin, are you going to be able to record The Walking Dead, or are you all filled up?
Oh, that's number one on my list.
I have too many TV shows on my DVR.
We were talking about this on Friday after the show, and Ralph started screaming at us because Bean said, and rightfully so, it's so hard because you can only tape 50 items on your DVR.
On DirecTV, right.
I can only have 50 shows that I'm DVRing.
Well,
that's,
it came
that's
up...
not enough. They need more room. 50 shows. Oh, that's such a small amount to be able to record.
It came up because we were talking about the new shows and what we've seen and what we liked and what sticks. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about The Blacklist. I want to add The Blacklist because I'm with Ralph. I love it. And yes. I want to add it to my shows that tape regularly every week. But in order do that, I have to delete something from my DVR. And Kevin turned out to be in the same problem. And that's where the conversation went.
I have to. That's not enough. Not enough. 50 is not enough. No, you're right. 50 is not enough. You have more DVR room.
No. Well, if you have 50 shows on your DVR, your DVR is not the problem. You are the problem. 50 is plenty. There's plenty of room on a DVR.
You're always saying that I have too narrow a focus, that I need to widen my focus a bit. So I'm trying to branch out. I'm trying to watch a lot of different kinds of things.
No, but here's the thing. You're not watching them, obviously. You're just recording them. Here's the thing. If you don't have enough time during your week to watch the shows you want to watch on television...
I don't. That's true.
Then when you start backlogging 4, 5, and 6 episodes of those shows that you don't have time to watch every week, you're never going to have time to watch those shows. Stop it. Stop
I
the insanity.
Hear you.
Pare down your viewing habits. It's just television. Pick a couple shows that you really love, that you have time to watch, and just go and live your life and stop it.
How many shows do you have on your DVR that you tape every week, Ralph?
My DVR probably has 40-something in that range, but it's
so you're
my
close.
Shows, my wife's shows, and about a dozen kids' shows that my 3-year-old likes to watch.
Oh, these 50
and
are
we,
all mine.
We DVR those because... we need to have at will. We need to throw up a Yo Gabba Gabba or something. If she needs to watch them, we have to have those at the ready. But there's still room on my DVR, and we got 3 people with all their favorite shows on that DVR.
All right. So
you got 50 shows loaded up. They're just you.
Yeah.
That you're never going to watch, by the way.
I watch a lot of them.
That's just madness. That's not possible. If you don't have time to watch them during the week, how do you have time to watch 4, 5, 6 episodes backlogged of shows that you don't watch?
I'm going to go through what's on my DVR right now.
I'd love to hear it because I will help you. I will slash this in half, I guarantee
Number
you.
Number 50 is La Liga show. That's
the what show?
What is that?
The what now?
That's a review of Spanish football.
Hold on.
Spanish soccer.
It's a review.
Yes.
It's not even soccer. It's a review of soccer.
Yeah, of the league, of La Liga.
It's like the sports center for the league.
Right. There was some way you could get scores, the soccer game someplace, other than taking
the highlights.
A slot on your DVR for it.
49 is CIA Secrets. 48 is Navy SEALs Untold Stories.
All right, screw you.
CIA secret.
Gate, screw you.
Then I got White Collar.
Okay,
and
keep
then,
that one.
All right,
now that's 1 out of 4. Right. I've slashed your list by 75%.
Then I got The Mentalist.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Then I've got Modern Family.
Yep. All right.
English Premier League Soccer.
All right, that can go.
All right, I've Axe Cop. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. It's 15 minutes long.
Yeah, but I
find a spot in
I
your life
like
to watch
2 hours,
it for real.
So I get Children's Hospital, a whole bunch of different stuff on there. That's a good one. That's the best one right there. Covert Affairs, Veep.
Okay. Yeah.
La Liga.
What? What now?
It's a different Spanish.
It's another Spanish soccer show.
Seriously?
You're taping.
Then Legit. Then New
Wait,
Girl.
You're taping 2 Spanish soccer shows.
Then Backstage Galaxy.
Then in
Backstage Galaxy is a show?
It's a behind-the-scenes show of the galaxy. Yeah.
You should have a soccer ball stuffed in your cookies.
Then English Premier League Soccer.
You don't need that! You already said it!
Then 2014 World... No, I said Spanish. This is English Premier League.
You said English twice already, and Spanish twice.
2014 World Cup qualifying. Burn Notice. Elementary. Jimmy Kimmel Live. See, these are all important.
How often do you watch Jimmy Kimmel Live?
About 3 days a week. I catch up on it. You know, I fast forward through the stuff I don't care. I always watch his monologue.
Well, you can get rid of Burn Notice. It ended.
Here's a
that's canceled.
It's done.
Key and Peele, South Park, Newsroom, Ray Donovan. See, these are all good. English Premier League Soccer on a different channel.
Stop it!
UEFA that's Champions League Soccer.
How much tape soccer are you watching?
Crossing Lines, The Americans, Sleepy Hollow. See? Ultimate Fighter? This is tough. How do you get rid of some of these?
Well, there's soccer?
10 soccer shows you could lose.
Tosh.0, Hello Ladies, Arrow,
Hello
Agents
Ladies
of
can
Shield.
Go. Hello Ladies can go.
It's not good?
It's awful. Let it go.
I haven't watched that yet. I've been taping it.
So I'm going to save you the trouble. Stop it and take it off your list.
The Bridge.
The Bridge is great.
Nikita.
That can go. Nikita's.
All Barcelona games.
Stop it.
Sons of Anarchy. Strike Back. Revolution. The Blacklist, Person of Interest. See, now we're getting to the good ones. Homeland, Galaxy Games.
Stop it with Galaxy.
American Horror, which starts this Wednesday, which looks awesome. All Kings events and Walking Dead. That's my number one, Walking Dead.
You know, you would take a third of that list off if you would just stop taping soccer.
Because you don't watch them all.
I enjoy
it. You can't.
Well, watch a soccer game that's on that you're interested in. Watch
I do
it
that
live
too.
Like you should watch sports and then let it go.
That was going to be my question, Kevin.
Go online.
How often do you watch a taped sporting event? That seems unusual to me. Like, I love baseball, but I would never tape a game and watch it the next day.
Well, for leagues that I don't care as much about, like the English Premier League, I'll fast forward through stuff.
Why don't you just look at the recaps online?
Because I enjoy
what the score was, and then watch those little highlight clips they have online.
Because then I have a friend. He'll go, did you see that game? It was unbelievable. Then I can go, I have it. I'm going to go watch it right now. Boom!
No, you say, no, I missed it. That's what you say. You don't say a no.
But why do I have to miss it? I go, boom!
Because you missed it. Because it's over now, Kevin, and you lost your opportunity to watch it. That game now has passed.
I don't see how I can eliminate any of those.
You're an idiot. That's why. Because everyone else can see how easily you can eliminate many of those.
But see, Bean has 50, and I'm sure a lot of those are BS to you, but
well,
he likes.
Some of the problem that I have...
CI Secrets isn't on his show.
Of the problem that I have is the same thing that Kevin has, which is that he has several shows that are done for the season. Like, the Newsroom doesn't have to be in there because it's not currently airing. But
so
you still have it in there. Have it in there so that you don't have to go back and put it back in when the show returns.
That's true, because that's a couple days worth of work, right? You have to get out a hammer and a chisel, and you have to open up the DVR,
no.
Right? You have to reprogram it somehow.
That's actually
special
about a
machine.
About a 4 second thing, though.
Oh, you mean you have to hit a button twice?
Sometimes
you lazy
twice.
Bastard. Just take it off when it's off season.
But then a guy like myself has to pay attention.
Well, yeah, they do hide it when those shows come back. You're right. They try to sneak them in under the wire. They don't ever publicize it and let you know a new show's coming back.
It does seem like things would be easier if we just did it Ralph's way.
just clean up your life is what I'm saying.
That's what my wife's been saying.
Do you
this
own,
is odd.
Let me ask you this
what?
Question. And I heard you mentioning someone and I overheard it. I need to confront you in this.
What?
Do you have all of the games of the 2010 World Cup soccer on a DVR in your house?
I do have that on a different DVR.
Take your own life.
You have 50 games.
You have 50 games of World Cup soccer from 3 years ago.
Yeah. That exists.
If you ever watch that, any of that, I'll give you a handy. That's what I'm saying.
But that makes me not want to watch it.
I've never
really,
been
it sounds like a win-win to me.
In my life.
Andrew Siciliano is the host of Around the League on the NFL Network and, of course, the Red Zone channel on DirecTV. Andrew, how come you don't have a spiffy sports nickname? Shouldn't you be like Mr. Football or Johnny Red Zone or something?
Well, I mean, there is.
Johnny Red Zone.
Johnny Red Zone.
Let's go with Johnny Red Zone.
There is Johnny Football. You know who that is, right? Johnny Manziel, the quarterback, the Heisman guy. At A&M.
Right, but
I don't know.
We were talking about you specifically.
Johnny,
you need a nickname.
Red Zone.
Johnny Red Zone. Maybe
I mean,
that's
if
it.
That's what you want to. I would tweet that, but Kevin would chastise me.
Right. For tweeting while talking.
It's like, you're not present in this relationship.
Andrew Siciliano joins us on Mondays out of the goodness of his heart to talk NFL on another great weekend. What was the last time, Andrew, you saw an NFL game with 99 points scored?
Wow, that's a great question. I should pick up my phone and look at the research for that.
Because I don't recall one recently, that's for sure.
I can tell you it was the fourth highest scoring game in the history of the National Football
League. The highest scoring was something like 79 to 41.
I think 900 to something. But if you had said that Tony Romo and the Cowboys would put up 48 points on the Broncos and they would lose.
Yeah.
I probably would have said, yeah, that's right. But
I've never seen less defense play. There's literally, they average, both teams average like 25 yards a play.
Yet it was the most exciting game you've watched, right?
It was, yeah.
I mean, it was thrilling because every time Tony Romo scored, you knew Peyton Manning was going to come back.
Yep.
And when he finally made one mistake, you knew that there was no way on God's green earth that he was going to get the ball back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed. So they can get a first down by like getting to the one.
Right. And they're on the 1.5.
And they're on the 1.5.
Right.
And Peyton goes to the huddle, and his running back, Knowshon Moreno, number 27, he said, listen, you got to get the yard, but you can't get the yard and a half. You cannot score.
Right.
And Moreno said, how do I do that? I said, I don't know how you're going to do it, though. You are not going to score. And so he kind of got low and kind of fell across the yard marker, fell across the one
right.
to get the first down without getting into the end zone so that they can kill the extra minute and kick the field goal and not give Dallas the ball back.
Because if you score too soon, you give Dallas the ball back.
And you couldn't stop them.
Yeah.
It's like a bad Big 12 football game, except it was the NFL.
But then I've never seen a guy take a knee worse than Manning. He looked like he was having a stroke.
And DeMarcus Ware threw him down. I mean, that's a play where you could realistically fumble. He wanted to kill a couple of seconds and run.
It was terrible, though.
Well, weird. Did you see when he scored his touchdown earlier?
Oh, yeah.
They had the bootleg.
Yeah, the
camera couldn't even get it.
It was awesome.
It was the first time in 5 years he did that.
Because you don't picture him scoring a running
touch. He never
runs.
He can't. Right. Yeah.
He can't run.
Wrong, he did.
I mean, it's like he's got a walker. All right?
Let me ask you this, Andrew. So Tony Romo, did he have a great day or a terrible day? Because people now are obviously giving him all the blame for the loss because of that that interception. But he also scored 48 points on the Broncos.
It will only be remembered by the loonies that call sports talk radio. All they care about is that he lost the game at the end by making the fatal mistake. And by the way, all week, this past week leading up, the talk in Dallas was, well, they're a little too conservative. The old Romo, they used to run around and make some plays. We don't see him anymore. They put handcuffs on him. He's being the guy, by the way, that they always wanted him to be.
Right.
He was that guy. Now they didn't like him because he was actually that guy.
Right.
Hey, can you go back to the old guy? So he did.
With good results.
Until the very end.
Yeah.
And then he threw the pick.
But that was sweet, right? I mean, you want to see Dallas get that close and then lose. I do.
I understand why you feel that way. The headline of the San Antonio paper this morning, I don't know the Dallas papers, I haven't seen them yet, but the San Antonio paper, where they're all Cowboy fans, huge letters, R-O-no.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I like
that. That's tough.
That's all they're going to remember. People aren't going to remember they put up 48.
Let's talk about one of the strangest games. Let's take one more game here before we take a break with our guest, Andrew Siciliano, this morning on the Kevin Bean Sean Kara. And that was the Cincinnati-New England game where we couldn't even – there wasn't even a touchdown, or was a touchdown right at the very, very end of the game was the only one scored,
Patriots
right?
held out of the end zone. Patriots didn't score. So they it was their first game without a touchdown in 4 years. And Tom Brady had a streak of 52 straight games with a touchdown pass, obviously broken. And at the end, in a biblical monsoon, he still almost drove him down the field before Pac-Man. Well, he doesn't like to be called Pac-Man anymore. He's Adam Jones.
Okay, Adam.
Before Adam Jones had the pick. The Patriots are very beatable. I mean, that was their first time they had been beaten.
They were the worst undefeated team.
The worst undefeated team.
So far this season, of the teams that are undefeated, they were the worst.
They had won the least convincing fashion.
Okay, that's a better way to say it.
Right.
Because they're still the Patriots with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And
right.
they can still draw something up to beat you because they are smarter than you. Whatever, however smart you think you are, they are better than you.
And you're talking to the audience, because I don't think I'm smart at all.
Okay. And I'm not that bright either, to be honest with you. Okay. But they are brighter than you. But yeah. they ran it. Cincinnati has an amazing defense. And here's the other thing. Cincinnati was angry that they lost to the Browns.
Well,
it's true.
Can you blame them?
Well, you never get over that.
All week. Some people can't get over it. And they came home, and they had the rain on their side at the end, and everyone's dropping passes at the end. I mean, it was a deluge.
It was miserable.
It was one of those ones where you're sitting on the couch and you say, I love HDTV, and thank God I'm not there. Plus you'd be in Cincinnati, but thank God I'm not there.
Well, there were so many great games, as there are every weekend in the NFL. And we got to talk about a bunch more of them with our guest. Andrew Siciliano is here. He, of course, is he's Johnny Red Zone is how I like to think of him. He is the DirecTV Red Zone.
We need to Photoshop that.
And, of course, he's the Around the League live host on the NFL Network. We'll be right back on camera. Andrew Siciliano in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from DirecTV's Red Zone and the NFL Network's Around the League Live, which will be on again this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Hey, two questions about the New York and Philadelphia game over the weekend, Andrew.
Yes.
Do the Eagles get credit for a full win if they only beat the Giants is question number one. And question number two is, and I know this sounds like a ridiculous question, but when you're 0-5, is there anyone suggesting that maybe Eli shouldn't be the quarterback anymore?
No, nobody will suggest that. Okay, Curtis Painter is the backup. Do you know who he is?
No.
No. Okay.
Never heard of him.
Right.
Said?
That's that. He's a guy. Look up. Do a Google image search for the Dutch boy, like the painter, like the logo for the that's Curtis Painter. Well, he cut his hair, but that's what he used to be. He looks like Kurt Cobain meets the Dutch boy.
Okay.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean he can't be a good quarterback, but he was one of the guys that when Peyton Manning got hurt a couple of years ago was pressed into action, and one of the reasons that they were so bad they were able to pick Andrew Luck. So, and that's not a rip. He is a backup quarterback, and there is no way on earth you would ever bench Eli Manning. Now, this might be sacrilege, but the conversation that could be had is at 0-5, is Tom Coughlin now considering retirement? Now,
meaning he fired?
He's not going to get fired.
He is.
I don't think they would ever fire him. But it might be something where, hey, if I could get this team back to respectability, say 6-10. Then maybe I just.
I like that's respectability.
When you're 0-5.
6-10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I just walk away. And maybe I just say, I have my rings. I have a couple of rings. I'm going to call it quits. It has been a rough year.
Yes,
it has been a rough year. But it sounds like what you're also saying is people aren't suggesting that the fault is on Eli's shoulders. That team has so many other problems that it's not like you can just point to him and go, he's screwing us.
His offensive line is so horrifically bad. they've had like three guys injured. Chris Snee, who's actually the coach's son-in-law, is now on IR. His career may be over.
Oh no.
David Deal, your second best lineman, just came back after missing the first five games. They are so bad. But Eli has made so many mistakes. You could argue that Eli may throw more picks than Peyton throws touchdowns.
Wow.
Actually, you can't now. I take it back. Peyton's up to 20, and Eli's at like.
Yeah, but 12. Eli can turn
it
on.
It's 20 to 12. So there you go. Peyton has 20 touchdowns. Eli has 12 picks. Eli's 12 picks is more than most of the best quarterbacks in your league have thrown touchdowns.
Wow, that's crazy bad.
It is circus bad.
Yeah, that is bad.
Does he have bad receivers or is just the line doesn't give him any time?
Very good receivers.
Line doesn't give him any time?
Line doesn't give him any time. And he's made bad throws,
sure.
But his running backs are coughing the ball up. I mean, they've given up 35. They are the first team, since the 54 Chicago Cardinals, your team, two stops ago. The Chicago Cardinals, the first team since the 54 Cardinals to allow at least 31 points in five straight games.
I was thinking about that yesterday.
Of course you were.
No, I wasn't at all.
Absolutely, of course you were. So before the Cardinals were there, they were in St. Louis, and before they were in St. Louis, they were in Chicago. That's how far back you have to go to find a streak as pathetic as what the Giants are on right now.
I can't imagine what it's like in New York City right now for the rabid fans of that team who are fairly vocal about their displeasure when things don't go well.
And most Giants fans are Yankees fans. That's simply how it goes. So they're following the A-Rod suing the bejesus out of everyone's story.
So they're not having a good sports season.
No, awful.
We asked you a couple of weeks ago when you were in, Andrew, because we're just in awe of the work you do. And I know we don't talk about it much anymore because now we've known you for a long time, but the fact that you're able to juggle as many things as you do on the DirecTV Red Zone is a miracle. How many people are talking into your ear at one time?
We have a rule, only one talks in my ear.
Right, but how often does that happen?
A lot. And actually, I'm yelling back at him as much as he's talking to me, because I'm screaming that we have to go here. And then he's screaming that we have to go there.
Those of you that haven't seen it, every time a team gets inside the 20-yard line and they're about to score, Andrew cuts to that game, to that game, to that game, to that game, and he has to keep track of everything that's going on.
And it's more than that. It's like fourth downs and here comes the referee with the decision on the replay, and so it's more than that.
Right, and even when they're nowhere near the red zone, like Andrew Luck throwing 77-yard pass yesterday, that's something that you'll have on tape, and then you'll play it 30 seconds later in between other live plays. So you're juggling a million things at once. And we asked you a couple weeks ago when you were in, Andrew, God forbid you get sick. What happens you wake up one day, you've got laryngitis, or you've got diarrhea, or you've got, pink eye, whatever.
I'm sorry, what? The latter might have happened.
Might have happened.
Anyway.
All right.
You've worked sick is what I'm saying.
Sure.
What happens if you're too sick to work? And if I recall at the time, Kevin, you very kindly volunteered to be Andrew's backup.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I said I'd do it.
Are you ready?
I'm your man. Of course.
You can do it.
Have you heard me broadcast?
I have not.
Oh,
I mean, I've heard this, granted.
I'm a professional.
You guys are a well-oiled machine.
Well, it was discovered, Andrew, and I think you'll be pleased to know that Kevin did, in fact, try to audition for the Red Zone. He did contact DirecTV and said, hey, I want to be your backup.
Strictly as a backup. I'm not trying to take your job.
Oh, no, I would never view it that
way. Okay, good.
I would never view it that way.
But the K-Rock microphones were there. We actually did manage to procure a copy of the tape, and I think you, the actual Red Zone host, will enjoy hearing this.
Okay, let's start the game. The Buffalo Bills playing in the Damiano Dolphins, and they're in the red zone. Oh, let's fumble in the touch. It's touchdown, touchdown. Okay, next game is New England Patriots and the New York Nets. And the New York Jets, field goal, 3-7, touchdown, 7 points for them. Next game, we go Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. Fourth down. They're going for it, fourth down. Going for it. That was the first down. Never mind, first down. Go. Now San Francisco 90-40s. The Seahawks Seattle, and it's all tied up. We're going for overtime. No, it's halftime. I'm going now. Carolina Panthers to Atlanta Falcons, and it's a 3-point game, and they score touchdown, and the Falcons score touchdown. And now it's 17:09 together, military time. Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles. Stupid, absurd game. I'm even going to look at that game. Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs. And they are, it's our game's all over. They're all on the party bus.
How wasted were you for that?
The usual. So what we're saying is, don't get sick. That's what our point is.
You know what? I almost want to now. And then you can do it with a six-pack.
What's going on around the league live today?
Today, actually, I would assume, without having gotten to work yet, that it's a lot on Houston and do the Texans bench Matt Schaub. They have said no, they're not going to bench Matt Schaub. He has thrown a pick six, meaning an interception that goes the other way for a touchdown.
Tell me, I'm the backup host for the Red Zone
channel. There you go. You are. How would I? You know what? You have black and red all over the walls.
That's
here.
Right.
Matt Schaub, Tony Romo, Eli Manning, and probably Peyton Manning. See, the dumpster fires on Monday are usually more interesting than the teams that played well. Not that we like to be negative here.
No, but that's natural.
Right. The crises are more exciting
than
patting people on the back. Right. Later in the week, you can pat people on the back. On Monday, it's the dumpster fire.
That Around the League live show airs this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and you can see Andrew or Kevin, depending on who shows up that day, DirecTV, the Red Zone on Sunday.
You have to wear makeup.
Thanks for coming in.
Bye.